Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got some exciting updates on the Cybertruck. We'll also talk a little bit about a special investigation from Reuters. We've got some auto wiper updates, which would be nice to see, and a few other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, tough day in the markets, tough day for Tesla. Tesla down 3.9% today, closing at $247.14. You can see the drop a little bit after afternoon today, and similar drop in the NASDAQ around that time as well. Tesla had started to underperform a bit before that, but you know, in general, tougher close to the market today. Not sure exactly what drove that. If anyone has thoughts on that, definitely feel free to share those in the comments today. But we'll see if things improve tomorrow. All right, we do have some exciting news, though, for the Cybertruck. It looks like real or normal or however you want to define it, Cybertruck deliveries have started to begin. The Test Bros channel on YouTube publishing a video of a first delivery here to, again, just a presumably regular sort of customer. I think Zach and Ella are their names here. And just great to see how much fun they were having driving the Cybertruck around off the lot today. So exciting for them, exciting for all of us as well. With, of course, this being, you know, only 3 weeks or so after the first delivery event, which, of course, is going to generally be going to, you know, early supporters of the company, people that maybe have close ties to the company as well, and then maybe employees is kind of what we sort of would normally expect. So for this to be extended out to just general regular customers is extremely exciting in terms of the prospect for where that is, where that reflects Tesla's ramp being. With a product this complex and with the sort of delays that we have seen, it wouldn't have been very surprising to see Tesla do sort of a ceremonial delivery event and then wait a little bit longer for really deliveries to ramp up from that point. Now that we are seeing these go to, again, regular customers, though, I think that suggests that the ramp should be progressing probably pretty quickly, which is exciting. So just in terms of how that reflects on the ramp, I think it's exciting, and hopefully we'll be getting, you know, first impressions from drivers like this of the Cybertruck too, outside of just the handful of reviews that we've got so far. So definitely exciting to see that. We also have Ryan Torres on Instagram that also shared a post. Looks like they took delivery of a Cybertruck as well. They've got a truckload of dogs back there, and they tagged their VIN number 448 here as well. So again, a couple of different reports of this happening today. Also in good signs, we saw another update from Joe Tegmeyer, as we've been seeing so frequently lately, of lots full of Cybertrucks at Giga Texas, which again hopefully reflects pretty positively on the ramp in general. Now, like I said, we could have been seeing a ceremonial ramp. I think we got a little bit of clarity just from the sort of access that Tesla gave at the actual delivery event to the production facility. What we have seen since then was Sandy Monroe touring the factory. It really does seem like Tesla's got this ready to go. So, you know, this is another encouraging sign of that as well. All right. And then also on the Cybertruck today, we've got some complimentary words being shared by Italian designer Giorgetto. I knew I was going to mess this up. Giorgetto Giugiaro, something around there. Not my forte, but this is the designer of the DeLorean. So probably not terribly surprising that he has complimentary words about the Cybertruck, but today he called it the Picasso of automobiles. Noted that the similarities with Picasso were that he was the artist of decomposition of reality and felt that the Cybertruck also sort of embodied that, completely destroying all expectations of how a pickup truck should look when it obviously looks like the Cybertruck. So some very complimentary words being shared there. Said, quote, "It will be hugely successful because people want to stand out. It does not represent the search for harmony and perfection, but for emotion and robustness." And also added, quote, "I give Elon Musk credit for having courage and understanding people's desire to stand out." So of course, Franz today also shared his thoughts on this. He says, "Words from a legend, a childhood hero, and a continued source of inspiration." So nice to see that for the Tesla design team, for Elon, the whole crew. Very exciting praise there. All right, and then the other sort of related update we've got here, make sure I didn't miss one there. I guess not related here, but the next update we've got is on auto wipers with Autopilot or FSD. This has been a source of frustration, I think, for many people for a long time. It can be a little bit annoying at times. Robert Scoble today noting that the neural network that runs the windshield wipers on my Tesla just had a major update. 6 years after my buying the car, wipers are way better today thanks to AI. Elon commented on this and said, true. So like we talked about with the release of FSD beta, whatever dot version we're on these days, with the release of that, this wasn't a particular release note. But like we had talked about, sometimes there are things in there that Tesla doesn't call out in the release notes. And from Elon's comment here, this seems to be one of those items. So I haven't had a chance to test this personally. I saw a few people on X saying that this was improved. Hopefully that's the case. We'll wait to hear a little bit more feedback on that, but I think a very exciting update for many people if that is true. And then in addition to this, it sounds like, also I've not confirmed this, but it sounds like you can now actually turn off auto wipers on autopilot or on FSD, which previously had not been the case. So I think that will be a welcome change for people that still aren't finding this to be exactly to their liking, but hopefully the need for that would be reduced with this update. So let me know your thoughts on that if you are seeing any difference in your vehicle. Next, we've got a new credit partnership for Tesla. Tesla's partnered with Origins, which is a credit union services company, essentially. So they help, link companies with credit unions. The largest or the leading credit union lending technology company, they say, has announced a partnership with Tesla to offer credit union financing for Tesla buyers directly via the Tesla website. So they say that this partnership will provide more options through credit union financing. So hopefully that ultimately leads to lower rates, more affordable payments for Tesla customers. And it sounds like that will be integrated directly into the checkout process on Tesla's site. Anything that, helps bring those payments down, obviously welcome, especially during this period of time. So we'll see how that integration goes, but keep an eye on there. And then today, a lot of headlines around a Reuters investigation. So we tend to see these from time to time relating to Tesla. This one, I think the simplest way to summarize this for people that didn't get a chance to read this today would be to say that Reuters, got their hands on years of Tesla service records and really just did their best to pick out whatever could be, maximally sensationalized is kind of how I would put it. So we can even see that in the headline. Tesla blamed drivers for failures of parts it long knew were defective. The use of defective here, I think, if you read through the whole article, is their interpretation of Tesla service discussions or engineering discussions around how to make things better, right? Of course, there are going to be points of failure. Of course, those points of failure are going to vary in frequency. Those that are more frequent, Tesla is going to spend more time discussing. They're going to put action plans into place to improve that product. That's Tesla's whole MO, is continual iteration and improvement. So if there are parts that are, more frequent points of failure, of course those are going to be discussed and, there's going to be efforts made to improve those over time. So that's certainly not how Reuters is framing it. That is my assessment, having read through the article. And of course, like I said, maximally sensationalize it. So as they tend to do, like we have seen with things about autopilot before, they'll pick out, tens of thousands of customers told Tesla about a host of part failures. I mean, yeah, Tesla's got millions and millions of cars on the road now. So of course there's going to be tens of thousands of customers that have some sort of an issue with the vehicle. That is completely to be expected, just percentage-wise. It's the automotive business. This stuff is part of the business. So that's completely to be expected. They say the automaker sought to blame drivers for vehicle's abuse, but Tesla documents show to track the chronic flaws and failures for years. So again, of course they're going to track points of failure. That would be almost malpractice if they weren't doing that. And then they try to frame it as though Tesla is just ignoring customers, not paying for any fixes or things like that. But in their very own article, they talk about how 2/3 of these parts that they were highlighting, they highlighted a number of different areas, but 2/3 of this specifically were replaced under warranty. For that example, they say Tesla paid for most of the 120,000 vehicles repaired under warranty in this example. So they try to present it as though Tesla is making the customers liable for these, defective quote-unquote parts, while still sort of sliding in there that Tesla is covering the majority of these under warranty. So I just found it to be a little bit, misleading, I guess, to be kind. Here's another case where we actually get some statistics from Tesla's perspective, from a case with a part of the suspension. Tesla said that the occurrence of such failures in China, where they were actually forced to do a recall that we had talked about on one of these parts, was approximately 0.1%. And elsewhere outside of China, less than 0.05%, so exceedingly rare. NHTSA has looked into this, has not requested Tesla to do a recall on this part yet. Again, just one of the parts that they're talking about in this report. And as we know, NHTSA, of course, no stranger to working with Tesla, no stranger to putting some pressure on Tesla to issue recalls like we have just seen earlier this week on areas that they feel are unnecessary. So again, I think it's really just Reuters got their hands on some service records from a number of years, looked in there to find what they could sensationalize the most. Of course, they pick out very specific anecdotes from individuals that perhaps happen to be the least unlucky or were the least well taken care of in terms of service. Certainly there are going to be issues, right? No company is perfect. I'm sure there are customers that have had a poor experience with Tesla that probably have not been treated fairly. And obviously you want that to be zero and work towards getting that as close to zero as possible. But when you have millions of customers, an organization with hundreds of thousands of people, I think sometimes things like that are expected to happen. So without Reuters here being willing to share kind of the full set of data that they have, which, you know, they'd have to anonymize and things like that, but unless they're going to present it in a way like that, I think it's difficult to put much weight in an article or in a quote-unquote investigation like they have said here. So feel free to read through that and form your own opinion, but that was kind of mine after spending some time working through it. All right, next up, we got a report from Bloomberg talking about employee compensation. So it reads that Tesla managers told some salaried employees that the company isn't offering merit-based equity awards this year. The company didn't give a reason for the change, but four employees from different departments told Bloomberg they believe the move was widespread. Some Tesla employees who reached the end of their four-year vesting cycle, though, were given stock quote-unquote refreshers in order to keep their total compensation competitive. I don't exactly know what a stock refresher would be, maybe just an RSU, restricted stock unit that they previously would have been granted under the system. Maybe that's just going to a more select group in this case. A little bit unclear to me. So on this, you know, Tesla from time to time will change compensation. All organizations will do that. Of course, when we're talking about bonuses are something that have to be earned. Tesla this year, of course, has had a tougher year than I think they would have expected from a profitability perspective, at least. From a production standpoint, we don't know what their internal targets were. Elon had, you know, of course, they set the public guidance of 1.8 million. Elon had expressed hopes to get to 2 million or so for the year. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, I'm sure it varies by position how Tesla would structure those awards. But, you know, if a company misses their internal projections, their internal plans, then that could impact, of course, compensation through the bonus structure, which is part of why it exists in the first place. So, you know, we'll see if we hear any more about this. Of course, I think we all want Tesla employees to be very fairly compensated, as, you know, in general, the company is doing excellent, great work. So hopefully that is the case, but also important to acknowledge those things as well. So we'll see on that, see if any more information comes out to give us some clarity on how those structures have changed. And then a couple more updates here. CNBC reported today that Tesla is in the number one most inflowed company this year in terms of basically the difference between buys and sells for assets that have traded Tesla. So that would really come from volume and then, you know, obviously the difference in share price and valuation over time. If you're isolating on 2023, obviously Tesla started at a low position, had, of course, high volume as it generally does, and Tesla gained a lot because it happened to start from such a low point on January 1st this year. So not too surprising. Again, this is something that Tesla is relatively consistently high on for the last couple of years. I don't know how important this is. Net inflows isn't an area that I spend a lot of time thinking about. It's probably more of a technical analysis type of an area, but thought I'd point that out and share some of my thoughts on that. And then just a couple more items here. So Toyota announced a recall today of 1 million vehicles. I've read a number of comments of people having casual conversations with acquaintances and things like that about the Tesla recall. And of course, people are always curious to hear thoughts on, you know, owners' perception of that until they learn that it's just a software update. There's often the sort of double standard accusation of, oh, you know, you're not going to hear about this Toyota recall. If you do actually search for this Toyota recall, you're going to see headlines about it, though, from sort of all major media sources. So I don't know if that's the best or fairest way to put it. But of course, Tesla's just going to naturally attract a lot more attention. More people are going to talk about it in general. So there's going to be more awareness of that than a Toyota recall, which is 1 million vehicles here, over 1 million vehicles. And of course, not an over-the-air update, an actual recall that requires people to take their car in and get it fixed. So, you know, just part of the car industry again, recalls happen, and they happen to all brands. All right, next we've got an update on Waymo. They gave a safety update today saying that Waymo significantly outperforms comparable human benchmarks over 7+ million miles of rider-only driving. 7+ million miles suggests that sort of over the last quarter or so, they've been at about 1 million miles per month. So that kind of gives you an idea of their sort of run rate for autonomous vehicle rides. Interestingly, they do point out, let me get down there. They say that their safety assessment points to an 85% reduction or about 7 times lower crash rate involving any injury from minor to severe, or a 57% reduction or 2.3 times lower in a police reported crash rates for these 7 million miles that they have traveled. Now, Cruise had released similar statistics like this, so it's always important to kind of pay attention to how they're reporting things. They do say that to make sure the human crash data is valid and comparable, the injury and property damage benchmarks in their 7 million mile study either included under-reporting adjustments for police-reported crashes or were derived from naturalistic driving study databases. So they're saying that the data that they're comparing with isn't really real data. It's adjusted data to try to get it as close to real as possible because there's certainly imperfect data when trying to make these comparisons. So it's not an unfair thing to do, and in fact is probably the right thing to do, but whenever an adjustment is made, it opens up the opportunity for that adjustment to skew, you know, how the comparison looks. So just something to keep in mind. I think I have a little bit more faith in Waymo to properly make that assessment than I do with Cruise. And they did get a little bit of a validation statement from the IIHS with their chief research officer saying that these reports represent a good faith effort by Waymo to evaluate how the safety of its autonomous driving system compares with the safety of human driving. The results are encouraging and represent one step in our evolving understanding of autonomous driving safety. So for whatever that's worth, a little bit of validation from a third party, and they did publish their sort of methodology in more detail as well. All right, just a calendar item here. Kathy Wood announced on X that she is going to be joining Elon Musk on X Spaces later this week. So seeking out questions for that. I don't know when the exact date or time of that would be yet. I don't think that's been announced, but something to keep an eye on for later this week. And then SpaceX today did their static fire test for their next Starship upper stage. So, well, I don't know if they're going to do a static fire for the booster. I would imagine they probably will, but nice to see some progress here in terms of that next orbital test flight. You know, we're probably looking at sometime next year now at this point. We've only got, I think, like 11 days left in the year, but we'll keep an eye out for that. And with the static fire here today, a nice milestone towards that third orbital test flight. But that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, December 21st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.